No doubt all of us have been wronged or hurt by somebody in some way. And all of us have at some time done something wrong, or we ourselves have hurt someone in some way. So whether any of it was intentional or not, we all know that repentance, mercy, pardon, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restitution are called for. When we cause any kind of injury, or injuries caused to us, we always want to be sorry for the things that we have done, or expect others to be sorry for what they've done to us. God wants us to show mercy toward one another, to pardon the offense, to forgive and to be reconciled, but we also have to make restitution for the things that we've done. You break a window, for example, it's expected that you should offer to pay for it. That's the only way to reparation, to restoration, and to peace, to have a civility amongst one another as human beings, but most especially as Christians. We know that sin destroys, always has, always will. The scriptures tell us that wrath and anger are sins, and they are hateful things, and the sinner hugs them tight. A sinner is happy when he or she is miserable, making others miserable through their anger and their wrath. Sin compounded by sin only worsens a situation. Someone, for example, hurts or offends you in some way. You allow yourself to be and remain hurt and offended. You harbor anger, resentment. You hold a long-lasting grudge, and that grudge then metastasizes into hatred. After that, you say terrible things. You gossip about that person. You malign or insult that person who hurt and offended you. You can't or won't let it go or move on. At this point, you've now been poisoned with your own unforgiveness, and become bitter. That bitterness then affects everything. It affects your other relationships, other interactions, even your relationship with God. And yet, you blame the other person. You blame the one who's offended or hurt you. Say, they're the reason why things are as they are. And worse, if that person tries to make amends with you, you refuse. If that's the situation, then who indeed is the real loser? Who's the real loser? The one that you and I allow to conquer or to offend is the one that we have allowed to control us. The one that we allow to anger or to offend is the one that we have allowed to control us. And when that happens, the devil smiles. But God tells us, forgive your neighbor's injustice, and when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone feed anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself and seek pardon for his own sins? After all, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses in the same way that we forgive those who trespass against us. We must remember that God who is perfect, and God who is love, that God who is perfect love, has created us in his image, and that you and I are made to love and to serve him perfectly, and to love and serve one another. We do this without sin. This is what God is asking, to love perfectly. If we sin, which in and of itself is a sign that our love for God, our love for neighbor, is not perfect, then we must show some sorrow and regret for the thing that we have done. If we show sorrow and regret for our sinfulness, then that is a sign that we still have the ability to love and to cooperate with God's grace. We can still love and repent. We can cooperate with God's grace and engage in repentance and reparation to make up for what we've done, to restore lost love, to be reconciled with God, be reconciled with others. We know that we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But what are we going to do to fix that? Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. The desire to be forgiven and the desire to forgive are powerful, powerful indications of our love for Christ and our love for one another. The acts of repentance and mercy that we you and I perform are sure signs of our cooperation with God's grace and the perfection of our love for Christ and our love for each other. St. Paul reminds us that none of us lives for himself. None of us lives for himself. None of us dies for himself. If we live, we must live for the Lord. And when we die, we must die in his service. In both life and death, we are his. Christ Jesus died, as we all know, to forgive our sins. He offered up his life to restore grace, to bring about salvation, to pardon our offenses, and to reconcile us to God. Remember your last days. And we never know. This may very well be the last day for some of us. Could be. But remember your last days. And how are you going to stand before God after that last day? Set aside your anger. Set aside your division. Remember that one day we will all die and go before God for judgment. Therefore, now is the time to put sin aside and to seek reconciliation and mercy, to have it for ourselves and to give it to others. Think of God's commandments. Do not hate one another. Remember God's love and mercy to yourself and extend that same love, that same mercy to your neighbor. That which you would have done to yourself, go and do likewise to others. And may God give us his mercy and grant us his salvation.